Just in time for the Christmas season, we have a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. and our new sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 17th and 24th. Talk radio and sacred music for the Christmas season, issuesetc.org, and click support.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
Well, especially at this time as we are preparing to celebrate the birth of Christ, and we are thinking in terms, in Advent terms, we're thinking about Christ's first coming, his coming among us today, and his last return, his appearing in order to judge the world. Christians are all about the big picture. We're about the universality. The old word we used to use is Catholic. Everywhere, all the time, for everyone. Christians are all about that. There's nothing particular about Christianity to a certain place or time. It covers everything, everywhere. Indeed, a universal redemption of Jesus Christ. The scope is unbounded. We're going to be talking about that universal redemption of Christ with Pastor Philip Hoppe here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 20th of December. After our conversation with Pastor Hoppe, Dr. Cameron McKenzie joins us. We'll talk about Katie Luther, who's remembered by the Reformation Wing of the Church on this day, wife, of course, of the 16th century reformer Martin Luther. Then Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be our guest. We'll pick up where we left off, and you can probably guess where we'll be in our Sunday school lesson, the birth of Christ, Luke chapter 2, the first 20 verses. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us. We'll talk about efforts made by the White House to mobilize gay and lesbian voters. That's a big, important, not just voters, that is a big, important source of income for President Obama, for the Democratic Party. We'll talk about that. Then Douglas Wilson joins us. He has debated Christopher Hitchens, the late Christopher Hitchens, famous atheist, three times in various venues. We're going to talk about Christopher Hitchens' legacy and his death with Douglas Wilson, author of the column for Christianity Today titled How to Think About the Death of an Outspoken Atheist. Now, our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Pastor Philip Hoppe is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ellsworth, Kansas, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Planking or Cross-Beaming. Pastor Hoppe, welcome.
Glad to be with you, Todd.
Tell us about this internet sensation, fad, whatever you want to call it, planking, and a rather clever idea you've had about it for saying something about the universal scope of Christ's redemption.
Right. Well, if your hearers have never heard of planking before, let me give you the Wikipedia definition, which we all know, of course, is infallible in our day and age. It says planking is an activity of laying face down in an unusual location. Essentially, what you try to do, and this is mostly young people that are doing this, is they try to hold their bodies stiff, like a wooden plank, in a location that really doesn't yield itself to doing so. It's something that can be quite an athletic feat, depending on where you try to do it. But as I looked into this, I actually saw one of my youth, Ashley, post a picture of her and her friends doing this, and I looked into what it was all about. I found out it was really about nothing. There was no point to it. There was no story even to why it began or what purpose it was trying to serve. And so my suggestion is that perhaps Lutheran Christian youth should try to alter the fad a little bit. Instead of what planking always says, that you have to place your hands directly at your side, my suggestion was, well, let's extend those hands perpendicular to our body. And so doing, make the shape of a cross, or we could say also the shape of a corpus, like the body of Christ you would find on a crucifix. My idea there is, you know, this is done in all sorts of locations. People try to do it on unusual objects. They also try to do it in famous places. And I thought, you know, the scriptures tell us that ultimately Christ's redemption, as you mentioned, as we, you know, get here into the Advent season, we prepare for Christ to come into his creation. The scriptures tell us that Christ came indeed to save everything in creation, to redeem it all. There is nothing, no place, no object in all of creation that God did not come to redeem. And so the idea would be that it would give our youth a chance to talk to their friends about that fact of how inclusive God's redemption of creation truly is.
This is not something that we're accustomed to thinking about as the insular 21st century Christians that we are. We tend to think of it all in terms of our own lives, our own experience. Talk about the Catholic nature of the Christian faith, the Catholic nature of Christ's sacrifice on the cross.
Yeah, as you said, I mean, that, you know, Catholic meaning just universal, that it extends to absolutely everything that Christ has done. You know, it really goes back all the way into creation and the fall affecting all of creation. Romans 8 tells us that all of creation was subjected to futility and now sort of groans for that day when it will finally be set free from bondage to decay and have that freedom that the Romans says of the glory of the children of God. And in that sense, while we can think obviously about each individual person coming to salvation in Christ, we can also remember that the scriptures talk about it as a much bigger thing, that it not only affects each individual, but it ultimately is about God restoring the entirety of creation that he made back in the beginning.
When Jesus commissions his disciples, he, and the language varies from gospel to gospel, but he commissions them to carry this message of repentance and forgiveness in his name to all nations, and in one place he even says to all creation. Does this also have something to do with the fact that wherever Christians are found, they're carrying that cross and that message of Christ with them?
Yeah, that's exactly it. That message of Christ and his cross can be displayed anywhere, and everyone who has been baptized into Christ Jesus has been crucified with Christ. And so that's kind of the idea behind the image, at least here, is that there is no place where the gospel message is not to be displayed. And so this was, you know, just sort of a clever idea to take Christian youth, or, you know, if we've got adults that are fit enough to pull this off, and say, look, here is all the places where in which the gospel is to fill up, the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ is to be told in all of these places.
We're worried, or at least some Christians are very worried this time of the year, about getting the baby Jesus in his manger out there in the public square. Is it more important, really, that Christians remember that it is the cross of Christ that we carry into that square?
Yeah, I think certainly in this season what we want to do is maybe take people from one place to the other. You know, in Advent and Christmas here, we're talking about the baby Jesus coming into creation. But we never want to lose sight of the reason that he came was not just to provide us some cute scene of a nativity to have at this time of the year, but ultimately to restore his creation. And that only happens through the cross of Christ. The manger is a wonderful story that tells us of God coming into our flesh and into creation, and not one we want to overlook, but it always drives us to the cross.
There are no freelance Christians, of course, and that's something very important for our young people to understand, that they are members of the body of Christ, that they are connected to Christ via the church. Talk about that as we close this up, that we're really talking about what the church ought to be proclaiming every Sunday, Sunday in, Sunday out.
Exactly. I mean, the whole idea behind this is that as youth or adults go into service on Sunday morning and they hear this word proclaimed into their ears, and as they receive the Lord's Supper, his body and his blood, they get to go out then and continue sharing that message with others. Obviously, the called servants of God doing that on Sunday morning and throughout the week, wherever they have opportunity, but then also the lay people of God taking that word just into the places where God has called them to live, and even in the spirit of this article, even in the places where they've been called to play, and telling people that they too can be incorporated not only into Christ but into his church.
When Christ finally returns, Pastor Hoppe, will he redeem the creation along with us, those for whom he has shed his blood, those who he has called and enlightened with the gospel?
Indeed he will. In fact, we talk a lot about heaven in our day and age, but I always say the best picture of heaven we have is the Garden of Eden. The picture that we have of that final place that we will live, that new heaven and new earth that we're looking for, is without a question a place like the Garden of Eden. It is creation restored, that same creation that was lost when sin entered into the world.
Pastor Philip Hoppe is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Ellsworth, Kansas. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Planking or Cross Beaming. Pastor Hoppe, thank you very much for being our guest.
Glad to be with you.
When we come back, the church is remembering, at least the Reformation wing of the church is remembering, Luther's wife. Now, Luther spoke very highly of Katie for a number of reasons. And when we return, we're going to talk with Dr. Cameron McKenzie about Katie Luther, her life before and after Luther, before and after the Reformation, the tragic story of her death and her place in the Reformation. All that on the other side of the break live this Tuesday afternoon, December the 20th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
At SteadfastLutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
Just in time for the Christmas season, we have a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. and our new sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 17th and 24th. Talk radio and sacred music for the Christmas season, issuesetc.org, and click Support.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
If Issues Etc. refuses to scratch your itchy ears and scratches your old scabs instead, and you love them for it, then Redeemer Lutheran Church is the church in Fort Wayne for you. The only real difference between Issues Etc. and Redeemer is that Todd and Jeff only talk about Jesus. We talk about Jesus, but we also put him into people's mouths. We drive off demons with water. We are the church. And yes, we serve Jell-O in the basement.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.